sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
Shit.
Hello, Rolando.
Oh my God. And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Destroy All Monsters.
No, Destroy As All always. Neighbors is the name of the show, not monsters.
I have it written correct in my script. I don't understand why I read it. I said monsters.
Because Destroy All Neighbors is such a terrible title for a movie.
Oh, man. Destroy All Neighbors. As always, Vlad, I mean John, will give us the plot in five words, give your first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We're on the last ride of Blood Rise.
Last stop on the Blood Ride. Guess
Episode
what?
Episode 6.
Blood Ride? There are no rules in the Blood Ride. But how can you break rules if you never establish rules in the first place?
Titled The Elephant in the Room. So
I watched the intro all the way through this time just to watch it one last time. And it
okay.
And I was like, yeah, okay. So this is gonna be a story about this guy. But I forgot there's no rules on the Blood Ride. It is not a story about that guy. We were bamboozled yet again on the Blood Ride.
Oh, yeah, because it's not really about the man playing the elephant who was on the bus.
But I guess he is the only guy that got that died, I think. Yeah, I mean, as far as we know, he's the only guy that died, and so he's the only guy that rides the Blood Ride.
The chick died, no?
No, she got her hand cut off. That's just kind of how it ends.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, okay. No rules. And I was like, look at all these extra people. I don't know. I don't know where they're going. And it just made me think, like, wow, they probably, these lucky actors got paid for one more day so they could all get together and ride the actual bus of the Blood Ride together.
Yeah. I think this is the best one.
It's by far the best one because it is the easiest, most straightforward one.
Yeah.
I still
had the twist.
Yeah.
At the end, but it was.
But you can
fun
pretty
enough.
Much clock midway through. Like, as soon as they start investigating, like, what happened to this lady that fell? It was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
She disappeared. Boy, I wonder where she could be.
Yeah. No, that was pretty good. I liked it. So he wasn't acting like a drunken buffoon through most of it. It was the girl.
I think it was always the girl.
Yeah, like he got murdered pretty early.
And because you can't cancel white women, she got away with assaulting people. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that part was a little weird. It wasn't like...
She was just there and she was like purposely like...
Being crude.
Yeah, which I thought like, oh, he's trying to tarnish this guy's reputation. But no, that didn't matter because she took off the mask at the end, so...
Yeah. Man, she was crazy.
There was a love story. It was kind of like an indie love rom-com almost.
Oh, yeah. The
two main people.
Yeah, trying to figure out what happened or whatever. That was actually a nice through line through the whole.
Yeah. Until you got the twist, and then it shifted focus on just the bad guy, and then it just kind of ends, which I kind of appreciated. I'm like, yeah, that was a nice little little stop on the blood ride.
It's probably the most enjoyable one out of all of them, like easiest one to watch.
Yeah, and there's nothing I can really complain about. It's just like, okay, yeah, this all checks.
Nice short.
So she knew this might be the last time she gets to kill somebody or bully somebody. Just bully somebody, I guess, right?
Well, she was obsessed with the guy, right? She was like in love with
the guy that she killed.
The guy that she killed, yeah.
And then she probably hated that other girl because apparently they'd been cheating with each other or something, I'm guessing, is what I was trying to...
It's not explicitly said. It just says that they're really close.
Because everybody's like, oh, yeah, that's just that guy. He assaults everybody. It's cool. He's cool. That's what it seemed like every single time. Like, oh, yeah, he does that.
Yeah, nobody said anything.
Totally fine. He's that guy. It's fine.
Yeah, that's such a dumb thing. I don't know. That part didn't make sense.
Yeah. I wonder what the conversation was like in the writer's room with the director. Like, nah, it's fine. He's just like that guy. They're those guys. You know, we've all got one. They're cool. They're funny. They just, you know, molest people. But it's fine. It's fine. He's married. It's okay. That's what it seems like the conversation was every time. No, it's okay.
Yeah, it's almost like they were trying to, like, it goes on for, like, too long, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I guess they're trying to build up to the fact that maybe they're guilty of killing the coworker. Like, that's kind of the...
That's what I thought, but then they said that's not what all what happened. And I'm like, oh... Okay.
Yeah, you gotta have the classic blood ride twist.
Blood ride. But yeah, it's just funny, like, oh yeah, he was dry humping me. But he didn't feel it. Like, it's not like he's getting anything out of it. He's married, it's okay. But it was her the whole time, so she was getting her jollies off. Blood ride. This is why this is the best episode. Of that.
Yeah. She went to great pains to, like, now had she gone through the whole, maybe the whole thing, the whole episode, like killing people, that would have been interesting.
Yeah. Like, people were trying to figure out where the office murderer was.
Yeah.
But no, it was more of like a romantic, sleuthy mystery thing for most of the episode.
Yeah.
These two, the two mice, right?
The two mice, yeah. That was a nice gimmick, the costume party. They picked the theme before.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun.
And I looked it up, and apparently elephant in the room is a saying. No, I'm just kidding.
Do share. What does it mean, John?
It means that if there's an elephant in the room, there's not a whole lot of space for other stuff because elephants are big. They're also gray most of the time.
I see.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And they are
Thank you.
Over 5 feet tall.
Yes.
And that's an actual fact.
Yeah.
They always weigh more than 5 pounds. That's another fact. Always weigh more than that.
Man, you did your research this episode.
Hey,
you
went hard. Prepared. That's what I did all last night. And then go out drinking with the other skeleton boy and promptly got super hammered within 3 hours.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like us at all.
We didn't buy 2 shots. That ended up being $6,000.
You know, for 3 hours we visited like 5 places.
We did.
It's pretty good.
We basically went on our own blood ride. No rules.
Pretty much alcohol blood, right? Yeah.
Oh man.
That was fun.
So that's the blood ride. But what else can we say about the series itself?
It's amazing, magical.
Much like life, you're gonna
a lot about.
You're gonna find some stops that you don't like, but you just get back on the bus and you keep going. You keep going forward, or wherever you're trying to go.
I learned a lot about life. I learned a lot about love. I learned things about myself. So
pop quiz. What was the third episode about?
Trick question. There was no third episode. I don't remember.
I actually don't remember either. I think that was the one, the poorly written one called Bad Writing. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Yes. Bad Writer. Not that I was looking it up. It's off the top of my head.
Because this is our favorite series we've ever reviewed.
All right,
Netflix. When is season 2 coming out? Looks like there's plenty more people waiting for their stops.
I mean, now that Netflix knows that algorithm, we're just going to be spitting out all kinds of blood, right?
Random ass series. Amazing series.
Yeah.
It's like this really put into perspective how actually shitty Fall of the House of Usher was compared to this. Like, it not even comparable. Just like Mike Flanagan, you need to watch this show so you know what to do next time.
Or even Guillermo del Toro, he needs to
I think he needs to collaborate with the blood ride.
He needs to be a bus driver.
Would you watch that Blood Ride season 2 narrated by Guillermo del Toro and he's the bus driver?
Yes. He's you know
like
the answer is yes.
Jolly looking dude, like, oh hey everybody. Oh hiya everyone.
Yeah. I would totally watch it. If he set the whole second season of the Cabinet of Curiosities on the bus, right? On a bus. Yeah. That would totally be cool.
Sometimes there is elephants in the room, which means there is a big problem that nobody wants to address. For my next story. I felt bad, but most of the time I needed to put on the captions for his intros. I'm like, what is he saying? He's talking too fast because he's nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we did it, John. We finished
hell
it.
Hell of a ride.
Yeah. Hell of a ride.
First horror podcast to review the Blood Ride.
The only horror podcast to review the Blood Ride. I don't think anybody's seen the Blood Ride. Hopefully,
we're gonna be solely responsible for a second season. It's gonna be
all our fans will watch it.
Ryan Murphy's gonna pick up this puppy. Then probably ruin it.
Well, it's already bad writer, so Ryan Murphy's
like whoever wrote that one, just write all the episodes.
Is he gonna cast Kim Kardashian?
Yeah. What's his name? Evan Peters? Is that his name?
Yeah, The Flash.
Yeah.
So we're calling it out, guys. We're calling it now.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome for all the seasons welcome. Of the Blood Ride.
All the seasons. Yeah. Alrighty. I think that's enough. I think we can get off this.
Okay.
Right. And we can talk about our movie, Destroy All Neighbors. Destroy All Neighbors.
Destroy All Monsters. Famous Metallica documentary, Destroy All Monsters.
Maybe because it's actually a name of a Godzilla movie. I've been watching the Godzilla show.
Oh, sick.
On Apple TV.
Oh, Kurt Russell, right? I did not know it was out.
Oh, yeah, it's out. It's just finished. It literally just wrapped. It's 10 episodes. Can't say they're all bangers, but Kurt Russell is amazing in it. So.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yep. I have no idea what's going on in the world right now. The job I'm on currently enjoys keeping 100% of my time.
And only paying you for, for half of it.
12 hours of it every day. That's about it.
Yeah. It's about half your day right there.
Literally half my day. If I stayed awake for 24 hours, it would be half my day.
See? That seems fair. The rest of the day is yours.
Yeah, they're like, you get 12 hours to yourself, so you can, you know, drive home regardless of how long it takes. Drive over regardless of how long it takes.
Yeah. Still got to sleep 68 hours.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what happens. Sure.
Yeah. Gotta get those sleep in. Alrighty. Let's move over to our main review of Destroy All Neighbors. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Destroy All Neighbors. Destroy All Neighbors. Come on. Coming in at number 3. Prog rocker finds death rocks.
Oh, there you go. A plus.
Coming in at number 2 for Destroy All Neighbors. Average apartment complex in Los Angeles. I put yeah, LA, like as one word, but whatever.
It's fine. Yeah.
Coming in at number 1 for Destroy All Neighbors. Skeleton Boy Johnny's alt life.
It's true. Alrighty. Destroy All Neighbors. Just released. Had a little run on this weekend before it also debuted on Shudder today. Or excuse me, this weekend. Some really big actors are in this. Really funny people too.
Yep, yep.
Alex Winter. David of ours.
Thomas Lennon.
Thomas Lennon. Jonah Ray Rodriguez. So, what did you think?
I rather enjoyed it. It felt like if they made Studio 666 in the 90s, that's what it felt like to me.
Do you mean the Dave Grohl?
Yeah, the Foo Fighters horror movie.
Foo Fighters horror movie, yeah.
That's what it kind of felt like me. It also kind of felt like very Bo is Afraid-ish also.
We haven't talked about that, but yeah, I did finish it.
Oh, yeah. No,
we did, yeah.
Remember, yeah. His dad's a dick, right?
His dad's the dick.
Yeah. His dad is a big dick. That's
monster dick.
And he did have a twin brother the whole time after all. You didn't hallucinate.
Yeah, what was that about? I was confused by that part. That just kind of came and went, the whole twin brother thing. Not to get off topic, destroy all my neighbors. We'll talk about it in a sec, but...
I think, like, because, you know, you're watching this movie thinking, like, oh, he's imagining this whole thing, or, oh, he's dead, or something like that. But no, I think this is just the world he lives in, and it's fucked up. And since he doesn't want to get with the program because he's so afraid of it, he's just getting fucked by it.
Similar to Destroy All Neighbors. It goes from
Parker Posey's pretty... banging him. She gets a heart attack and dies on top of him.
Doesn't panic. Yeah, I mean, it starts pretty mild-mannered with Jonah Ray being in, like, you know, a struggling musician. And then it kind of, once the new neighbor moves in and then the thing happens. I don't know if it's a spoiler to say what happens, but it becomes kind of like, what's a good name for this without, and the way I would describe it is like a stoner hangout movie.
Yeah, kind of. That's what I mean. Kinda, it feels very 90s, very like all these people were really into Tenacious punk rock D. music videos of the 80s and then made movies kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Tenacious D kind of followed suit with that too. Like it feels like a Black Flag music video or something. Like mm-hmm. there's something just very DIY punk rock about it. Oh, I will mention, I was like, oh, maybe I know somebody that worked on this. I don't know any of these folks, but all female art department team did a fucking fantastic job. And they also worked on VHS 85.
All of them? The whole team?
The
majority of them?
A majority of them, yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Very cool, yeah.
I forgot what else, where I was like, whoa, that's cool.
I think they definitely had a goal in mind in terms of some of the like practical special effects for some of the actors and everything.
Yeah.
Great. It all looked really good, the practical effects and everything, and then like the apartment as well. The apartment had a really nice lived-in, cartoonish, exaggerated look. So all very distinguished. Even like Williams, I would say they were really nice because it kind of gave a sense of type of person he is. And then like, I love the joke of like the size of the apartment.
Yeah,
the size of the place. Yeah.
Which I'm not sure where they shot that, but I am pretty sure I know where it's at because I literally just worked at that studio. Because that police station they shot was definitely the Glendale police station.
It seemed like it was when they were driving around, like the exterior freeway shots seemed familiar.
Yeah. If that makes sense. I mean, also, like, they're like, oh, we just drove up to Big Bear, so I'm assuming they're in L.A.
Yeah.
I don't know what else, what other city looks like that. That's that close, I guess. Unless right, they're, like, in San Bernardino or something. But I don't think San Bernardino doesn't look like that.
I feel like San Bernardino looks like San Bernardino. You can kind of...
Oh, you know what San Bernardino looks like.
Yeah. It definitely looked like L.A., but yeah.
So the set decorator on this was also a set dresser on The Wolf of Snow Hollow.
Oh. Look at all these connections.
That's because this feels like a movie Jim Cummings would be in too, but he wasn't.
Yeah. What'd you think of the... Did all the humor land with you and horror moments?
Yeah, totally. It was very... There are so many nods to things like what, like Evil Dead 2, right? There's a point where somebody, a head lands in somebody's lap, and I'm like, okay. This is like directly from the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was really funny. I really enjoyed it. It's very difficult to pull off a movie like this where there's no real bad guy.
You know, right. I mean, it's like
he's the bad guy, I feel like.
It's like his internal, it's like after he decides to kind of stick up for himself, because he's kind of like, he's portrayed as like a loser pushover in his life.
Yeah.
So I
like how that smaller dude, the handsome guy, what, Pete, or the guy, Alec. He's the guy. Oh, he played Leonardo in the new Ninja Turtles. Oh no, the 2016 Ninja Turtles movie. Anyway, the dude that finally sold his erotic sci-fi script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like, how did you do that? And he's like, well, you know, it helped that I didn't have to work because I'm a trust fund baby. But you know, focus and dedication.
Yeah.
But I like how he's able to kind of like. Not bully him, just like assert dominance over Jonah Ray, even though Jonah Ray is like 10 feet tall. I like how Jonah Ray is able to like make himself seem meek.
Yeah. He was really funny in this, Jonah Ray. I thought it...
Yeah, he was great. And he used his real last name. Maybe he's taking a turn. He's finally coming back to us.
Yeah. No, I actually... I think he's actually a great lead. The stuff that he's been popping up in that we've been watching lately, we've seen quite a lot of his work. And I think that he's been the standout. And I think this movie, again, kind of solidifies his kind of leading man quality while still having the, you know, quirks and weird tics and stuff like that.
Yeah, I feel like he was taking a lot of notes from Bruce Campbell.
Okay, yeah, right? That's a good comparison, yeah.
Very physically comedic and kind of goofy. So yeah. Even when he's doing something that's pretty horrific, it still comes off as comical because... what do you think is actually really happening in this movie, though? This is the only reason I compared it to Bo is Afraid is because I feel like in this world, these things are actually happening.
Right, yeah. By the end, it seems like, based on what happened at the end, yeah, it did happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I was confused about the rules, too. Because it seemed like any person that he accidentally killed was the person that, you know, that would come back to him and haunt him.
He immediately was able to communicate with him.
But then the building manager also was able to talk to him. And she accidentally killed herself. Like, off screen.
But he did visit her, so he was in that proximity.
Yeah.
So maybe that's because it doesn't happen right away. It happens kind of like he's clearly lost his mind.
I figured. Unless Vlad, right, played by Alex Winter,
mm-hmm.
who makes a cameo later, I don't know if you caught this, as his lawyer. I'm just kidding. It's hard to tell it's him because he uses a different accent.
He parts his hair to one side.
His hair is not bleach blonde like we're used to. It was black, so we couldn't tell it was him. Do you think maybe he brought some sort of mystical, I don't know, some sort of weird demon energy or something?
Vlad, I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, he's I mean Vlad's a real person, even though he doesn't look like a real person. He's very exaggerated, his exaggerated features.
It's also I won't get into what happens, I guess. It's just like something happens at one point where I'm like, I don't think a cinder block can do that, but okay.
Yeah, I think that once he murders continue to pop up around him, the character clearly has some sort of like psychotic break.
Oh yeah, totally.
Which in essence helped him finish his album,
which was the most important motivation part
of the movie. Yeah, to finish his whatever record. So I think that's part of it, but yeah, I think the story is very loose and it kind of doesn't matter as much.
No, not really. This felt like somebody was making a movie about all their favorite movies all at once. It was very Airheads at the end. You know, it's pretty Studio 666, like we had mentioned before. A lot of Evil Dead references.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this almost felt like Alex Winter directed it too. It felt that way a little because Alex Winter directed one of my favorite films called Freaked.
Right.
Yeah. Which had a similar vibe. I think that's why I keep saying like it feels very 90s. There's something very MTV about it.
Yeah, I can feel that. Yeah.
And for some of our younger listeners, MTV used to be about just music and weird things like that before it was a reality television show.
Yeah.
I don't know. What should we go into spoilers?
I don't think they're ready for that one. Yeah. Oh. yeah. We could go to spoilers, but I was gonna quickly say that that kind of got me excited when I saw Alex Winter in it, and I was like, well, this definitely has like Freaked vibes to it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was super excited and pumped to see a weird, strange movie, because Alex Winter can be weird and strange. You know, he's not afraid to you know, play in that realm, play in that type of movie. So it was cool to see him kind of return to it. Alrighty. Let's go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. Cool. The neighbor has a pig. I'm just kidding. That sounds
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he accidentally kills Vlad the neighbor.
He kills Vlad the neighbor, so he destroys all his neighbors.
The guy that played, what was his name? It was like a three name something Bang.
Yeah.
Caleb Bang Jansen.
Yeah.
Texas born.
I've never seen him before. Are you familiar with him?
No. But he grew up in the Philippines, South Carolina, Germany, Illinois, Alabama, Missouri, and Philadelphia.
Oh.
Before he went to LA. No, he's a... Holy shit. I'm about to blow my own fucking mind right now.
Okay.
Whoa, hold on. He's in the band Man Man. Do you remember Man Man? So he's like a music supervisor most of the time.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Cult band Man Man.
I think he is Man Man. Wow, I didn't fucking clock that. So the dude, the dude that plays the asshole is like one of my favorite musicians. That's so funny. It's just, I'm used to him not looking like that, I guess. Everybody is beautiful, but I'm not used to him being that large, I guess.
How dare you, John?
Hey, how dare
I? Don't shame
him. I just canceled myself. I'm sorry, everybody.
How dare you?
Yeah. Wow, that's
I'm
so
reading
cool.
about that.
Discovering little things that I definitely knew already and researched beforehand and not read right now. So that's pretty rad, but I feel like that also checks the people that are usually involved with these types of movies getting them made. You know, it's going to be like Jonah Reyes calling him favors to get his friends like Camille Nanjiani and, you know, John Daly and Thomas Lennon and probably Alex Winter. They would know somebody like Ryan Kattner.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's rad. What did you think of the Augie character?
Oh yeah, so he watches the he watches videos while he's driving around and stuff like that about how to play bass or prog rock.
Yeah.
And he's pretty funny. I did like him. I did like the sort of like they're like instructional thing, and then it turns kind of twisted because he's instructing him how to get rid of a body as well. So.
Yeah, and he keeps giving him like he's giving him advice on how to like get rid of a body, and like, oh, use this type of chemical. So it's all happening, and Jonah Ray goes out and grabs it like a montage. And then right before he's about to do it, and he's like, but it could take up to 3 weeks. What I recommend is... And then he gets a Sawzall with like a really tiny blade.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. It was a tiny blade. You know, no way he's doing that type of work.
No.
With impossible. That body.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so he ends up killing Vlad. He ends up killing pretty much all his neighbors, including his landlord. Well, not his landlord specifically, but...
Yeah. I mean, his neighbor attacked him. So, like...
Yeah.
that was in defense. The second one technically wasn't him unless he's imagining what happened, because Vlad made him run over the Augie character, the homeless guy, which is like kind of funny, you know, like we've all encountered a guy like that. Yeah. Or like a homeless guy, you give him something once and he's like, no, you're that guy. I need it. I need it now. Give it to me now. I'm like, no, I don't have that shit today, man. And then you just ignore that street for the rest of your life.
That's it. And then
That's why I never go back to Hollywood.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand why Augie had a tire growth. It looked like, I guess, like the tire must have hit him and ran over his face, but like they did the makeup on top of his actual skull and didn't, there was no, since it was all practical, it just looked like he grew a big mole that looked like a tire tread.
Yeah, that was the,
yeah,
maybe the one critique I'll also give is that didn't look plausible. They didn't really quite track about what happened.
He hit him with the back of the car, like he was in the middle of the vehicle. So unless this this Ninja Turtle style minivan had a tire in the middle, or was it the spare tire? Maybe, I don't know.
How dare you, John?
I know.
Use logic. What's wrong with you?
Clearly, none of these people existed. How do you feel about the pig eating all the?
That was a good twist.
Yeah. So how did he get caught? I just don't understand. I mean, because Vlad called it in?
Supposedly, yeah.
I guess.
Because he... This is where the movie is very loose in its premise. Like, he ditches the body and the clothes, and they end up coming back to him. So I'm not quite sure. Oh, I think it's because, wasn't it, he got arrested because he was holding those people hostage?
Yeah, but I don't see why he would get... I mean, I'm sure it was just a joke, but why he got 3 consecutive life sentences, and then...
The neighbor they didn't find, the landlord wasn't his fault, unless they got him for Vlad. Because when he got rid of the bodies, he didn't... He maybe have not actually gotten rid of him. I see, again, we're putting logic to some things that I don't think...
Matter, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be very loose, comical farce.
Yeah, it's just a fun movie. And honestly, I kind of miss movies like this. Again, like Freaked. Freaked is very much sort of like this. Very just weird to be weird.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I think you're right. Probably stoner comedy. They were probably stoned when they wrote this.
Or even what was the Tenacious D movie? Was it Pick of Destiny? It's kind of it's kind of in that same realm.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I did. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, actually, I did like it. I think that the comedy, it's kind of hit and miss. I think it kind of plods along a little bit for me. Everybody's clearly having a lot of fun with each other, and I just wasn't always on board with what was happening.
Gotcha.
The fun, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was fun. I thought it was clever. I liked the practical effects. I liked a lot of the actors. Just it wasn't like always having fun with what was going on. And then the conclusion, you know, of him trying to finish his prog rock record was kind of like, okay. And, you know, it just, I don't know.
He won Album of the Year, though.
On something.
I
don't know.
I like how they didn't want to admit that he's in jail either. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. So, but he used... I didn't foresee that the people that he murdered... or who are going to be in his band to finish the record.
And you could almost argue that because Vlad becomes a bad guy again at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You could almost argue that he did that intentionally so you would have to finish his album.
Vlad, yeah.
That's what it kind of felt
like. I'm getting that sense. Yeah.
That he was still there to help him, ultimately. But it was also clear that there was nobody else in that recording room but who played all the instruments. I don't know. Who was engineering it? I don't know.
It was the dead woman.
It was the dead, yeah. She's good. Because she was super into prog rock and he didn't know.
Yeah, well, she always had ideas, right?
Like, yeah. Well, it was like her favorite band was his all-time favorite band.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't. The one joke I didn't understand was that the homeless guy was the guy in the videos. Is that the joke?
I'm not entirely sure about. That's what I kept thinking because that's what it sounded like. But clearly played by a different actor, right?
Right.
Yeah. But also maybe just. I mean, yeah, I guess it's supposed to be him, like his all-time favorite band, right?
Yeah, because it was like, but he didn't recognize him.
Yeah, because of the beard. No, I was kidding. That was one of the jokes when he parties with the dead bodies.
Yeah, that was like the one. I was like, that joke didn't really. I didn't get that one. That one didn't really.
The partying or the beard joke.
Oh, the person he looked up to is like somebody he killed.
Oh yeah,
that was also into prog rock. I guess that makes sense. Said like all these people were liked prog rock and knew how to make the album that he went on to make in some way. So
because he could also maybe interpret it like that guy wasn't that guy. He just, because he tells him after he's dead, right? So it could just be him thinking like, oh, of course it was you. Now I can finally talk to you and have ideas and blah, blah, blah. I don't think he was actually talking to anybody.
So, okay.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. He didn't kill these people. That's why he's in jail at the end.
Yeah.
But
then it doesn't track when they all attack the two people in the recording studio. So, because he doesn't do anything. They do all the work.
I think we got to invite Jonah Ray Rodriguez to the podcast.
Yeah, Jonah Ray. Or maybe that guy, whoever that guy is, Alex Summer, whatever his name is.
Alex Summer?
Yeah. Alexander Winter.
He was just at Vidiots because he made a movie.
Oh, sick.
He directs movies.
Oh, he also did that documentary or something. Yeah, yeah. It was a YouTube? Big deal. Yeah. Apparently doing very well.
Like yeah. He did. I think it was it? Well, it must have been last year. I think it was maybe during the summer. They screened his movie and he did a Q&A.
Pretty wild that he never did anything big, right? Alex Winter, he was never in anything like culturally popular, except for obviously The Lost Boys. Which I'm trying to find his earrings that he wore that.
I got pretty close.
Yeah, it's true. No, of course, Bill and Ted. We got our Bill.
That's true.
I always forget which one's which.
Oh, yeah, nobody knows.
Yeah.
John.
Even though they literally say each other's name every single time they talk to each other in every single movie.
He also directed the Zappa documentary, too.
That's the one I was thinking of, actually. Yeah, I heard that one did really, really well.
I think that was a labor of love for him.
Yeah. Maybe he's the guy that brought... Man in.
Yeah, maybe.
Is Which, it again, that sort of that music? Is so cool. I wish I had known that the entire time I was watching it. Nice. So,
yeah.
Yeah, his girlfriend forgives him at the end too? Question mark. It seems like.
Yeah. Just gonna she becomes go a lawyer.
Visit him in
prison. Very understanding girlfriend.
Yeah. So. And he gets to keep his little styrofoam. The little MIDI analog synth that he has. Which, little trivia about that instrument. They are super cheap. And, Space Oddity by David Bowie, he used that little instrument for a little bit of the intro and part of the chorus.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
But those things are like 40, 50 bucks or something at most.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he had a lot of cool stuff. I was geeking. Well, I mean, I was being a nerd about the music instruments that he had. I was like, oh, look, a little microkorg and 80 string guitar. I thought that was a funny addition.
Yeah.
A three neck guitar. I was like, okay.
Yeah. They look cool. Unpractical. Yes. They look cool. So, and, yeah.
Yeah, John Daly, you're not playing any of those notes. You didn't even try. I think maybe whoever did the dub over for the bass parts. No, I'm thinking that they pre-recorded the bass parts and it's just John Daly trying to mimic it. And I was like, nah, those aren't the notes, but okay.
Yeah. Alrighty. Do you have any other thoughts before we rate it?
No. No, I think like I enjoyed this on the same level as Studio 666.
Oh, will it have the same rating? Well, let's find out.
Let us find out as I quickly go back through our episodes and try to remember what I rated Studio 666.
You don't know that off the top of your head? How dare you?
No, I'm just kidding. Of course I do. Fuck.
Okay, all right. I trust you. All righty, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones? Sexy bones. Ooh, ha. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Destroy All Neighbors.
Neighbors.
Seven sexy spooky bones.
I think I liked it just a little less than you. I will give it a six. It did have fun. Not my favorite movie, but it did have a lot of fun. Maybe I gotta rewatch it. I had my expectations too high.
Yeah.
I was super pumped all week to watch it. So.
Well, I mean, it is. I feel like it's better than you think it is. It's just when you watch Elephant in the Room by Blood Ride right before, it's nothing's gonna compare to the Blood Ride, so you gotta give it some grace, cause
yeah,
it's like going from like
it's true
Scorsese, it's like to Michael Bay, you know what I mean, like
yeah, it's like a steak and then a shit sandwich. Yeah, so it's like can't
oh yeah, exactly.
I'm so hungry. All right.
Oh, shit sandwich. Yum.
Yum. Shit sandwich.
Come on, Billy. Little shit sandwich.
You do a good Vlad. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, because he's like supposed to be European, which I guess Italy is in Europe. So. Because even though he sounds more like a Mario Brothers character.
A little bit. I was having a little hard time. I was like, is he going to do the accent the whole movie? Because this is not going to work.
Yes. Yes, he is.
He did.
Even though good he's a dismembered head.
Yes. Good for him. Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky, okay?